Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Money coming out, lives changing, and people quaking in their boots because one of the places spending it, little spot called New England, Foxborough, Massachusetts, starting to freak some people out. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Kelsey Riggs, kind enough to hang out with us, ACC Network host, sideline reporter, sitting in. Janae getting ready for NBA Countdown. You'll be able to check her and Maria Taylor out, holding it down, getting you ready for an NBA doubleheader. But we've got Kelsey in the middle of an absolute onslaught of college basketball going on. So, Kelsey, you had selection specials over the weekend. You've got the women's selection special on the ACC Network at 8 tonight. And then at 9 tonight on the ACC Net, you've got a countdown of the best female athletes in ACC history. Is that all you've got going on today?
That's it. I mean, just like a casual little Monday. No big deal, right? No, it's so fun this time of year. I mean, I think back to this time of year last year where we just didn't know what was next. And so I'm like, bring it on. Anything that I can do right now to keep me busy and just be in the middle of March Madness, I'm all for it.
You're in pandemic Connecticut. There's not much else to do.
Might as well be working, right? You know what I mean? I know you know what I mean.
I've got 20 plus years of knowing what you mean around here. Kelsey, as a Connecticut lifer, this is a very familiar spot to be in here. So we're glad everyone's staying safe. Again, check out Kelsey all over the ACC Net. She's kind enough to come and hang out with us here right now. And Kelsey, today we are kind of looking at two different things happening at once. We're looking at the next generation of players moving, NFL free agency, big deals signed right now. New England making a big splash, signing Matthew Judon, Jalen Mills from the Philadelphia Eagles, two big deals, all trying to match before. I saw Kevin Clark from The Ringer tweet this. You could argue Drew Brees is the best, most important free agent signing in the history of the NFL. Comes over from San Diego after that shoulder injury, doesn't sign with Nick Saban's Miami Dolphins at that point in time and changes college football as we know it. But him and Sean Payton teaming up in New Orleans has to be, when you look at what it meant to that city post-Hurricane Katrina when they came over there, maybe the most impactful relationship between athlete and city that we've seen in our lifetime, to say the very least.
Yeah, and especially when you look at not just on the field and the 9 winning seasons and the playoff wins and the Super Bowl and what he was able to do with that team in the NFC South and beyond, but like you said, the timing of when he got there, to come there right after Hurricane Katrina and to be so involved from the start in helping build that city back up and lift it up and give them something else to look forward to and cheer for and not just go out there and be a vessel with his charitable work, which ultimately won him Walter Payton Man of the Year honors, but to also go on and have the impact that he did on the field. When you think about athletes that mean a lot to their communities for what they have done both on and off the field, he certainly, Mike, has to be very high on the list of guys who've made a huge impact.
He does, and I'm glad you brought up the on the field part too, because what he did as an undersized quarterback coming out of Purdue kind of broke the mold, broke the paradigm in a way that led to Russell Wilson's, that led to now people looking at guys like Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield and saying, all right, it's not what can't you do or what box you don't fit in, but it's what skills do you have and can you do some of these same things that we saw this player in Drew Brees transcend. Now we head to the Goodyear Hotline. We're joined by Gus Cattingill of the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill, which, first off, excellent name for a radio program on ESPN New Orleans 100.3 FM. And Gus, is it fair to say that Drew Brees for the city of New Orleans, for the state of Louisiana, might be the most impactful athlete to ever come through that area?
No doubt. First off, thanks for having me, guys. And, you know, today was so awkward. It's something where you know was coming, yet it's hard to kind of not get tugged at the heart lines here. Look, Mike, you spent a little time here, you know, playing with the team here first season and so, and I'm a New Orleanian. So I grew up remembering very clearly spending Saturday or Sunday afternoons in my garage with my dad or hanging out outside throwing the ball, not seeing the game because the Saints didn't sell out. I remember very clearly, you know, paper bags being a thing and the Aints. And I thought growing up, you know, the phrase blowing it was kind of part of the lexicon and just normalcy in sports. I mean, it was just attached to the Saints. We always would find a way to blow it. So, you know, when you sit here on a day like today and think of, you know, listening to you guys just say it off the field, on the field, the importance of it, what he's been able to bring to the state, he gave that team a chance to win every single time that team stepped on the field. And off the field, he kind of gave the city, you know, a way to kind of feel good about itself. I don't know how else to really explain that, but that chip on his shoulder, I think that he's carried along seeing, you know, like you mentioned, Mike, that undersized thing. He knows, man, he follows everything in social media. He's very cognizant of his brand, his name, what's being said about him. He knows that, you know, whatever show you pick on the mornings never references sometime. And the fan base kind of latched on to that. You know, hey, why is Drew not an MVP candidate? Why is he not talked about that? I think it fueled him, and I think it fueled the attachment to this fan base. But it's not even a question. Single-handedly the most important professional or just collegiate or just athlete, I think, in the state of Louisiana, not just New Orleans.
Gus, that's who he is to New Orleans now and what he did there. What do you remember about when he first got there and getting to kind of be along for the ride of seeing mm-hmm. how his career on and off the field evolved in New Orleans?
You know, it's interesting because they came in together, Sean Payton and Drew, right? And even Sean Payton wrote in his book after the Super Bowl, he wanted the Packers job. And if you listen to Randy Mueller and Sedano in a podcast, and Drew's told the story too, Miami was the destination. I mean, that's where they were going to go. They didn't want him. The doctor said no. So you have two individuals that maybe New Orleans wasn't first for them, but turned out to be exactly what they needed for one another. And, you know, we remember the press conference of him coming in. And, you know, it was funny because I remember in April the Reggie Bush signing or drafting, and the city went bananas. It was the first time that the city or the franchise ever sold out its season tickets ever. But it was because of Reggie. And everyone was like, well, we hope this guy with a broken arm can throw. I mean, no one ever thought that he was going to play. A lot of people didn't really know that much about him, much less to ever think that it was going to be what he turned out to sort of be. So what I remember is just somebody that seemed very eager. It's crazy to see the photos and videos yesterday and today of how young both Sean and Drew look, and to just kind of get that vibrant attitude that he brought in. But I think it's exactly what the city needed in both guys, because remember, Sean Payton got fired from the Giants being the offense coordinator. So, you know, all we sort of knew is, well, these two guys sort of like that, but the 06 team kind of embodied that. It was, you know, created with a bunch of castaways from Frigida to Shanley from the Cowboys to, you know, guys that kind of you didn't want. So it embodied sort of who they were, but it absolutely started with both of them, but Drew in particular. He had something to prove, period.
Gus Kattengill with us here, the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill at ESPN New Orleans, 100.3 FM. And Gus, we know all those fond feelings are going to be there, but we know now that the Saints aren't that team with the chip on their shoulder necessarily anymore. They've been one of the mm-hmm. best in the NFL, and they still have a lot of that roster. They announced the, I'll put in air quotes, extension with their current quarterback right now, but we also know Jameis Winston sitting out there. So what do you think is the starting quarterback? Who do you think is the starting quarterback for the Saints come week one of this fall?
I still would be shocked if it's not Jameis Winston. I mean, I've always said, listen to Sean Payton. He will tell you what he's thinking and what he wants to do if you listen long enough. And he's been right at it. I think when he, you know, did the tour of the media networks during the Super Bowl week, you know, he was asked, obviously, first or second question about Drew, and then immediately starts talking about Jameis Winston, a guy that is not signed. He's not signed to this team. So I think when you say that, it's a bit of a selling point, and also I think it tells you where he wants to go. Look, I think Taysom Hill brings a lot of different qualities. I would have liked to seen what he can sort of develop. I just, you know, Mike, I can't get over that Denver game, and it's something I talk about on my show all the time. That Bronco game, that a starting quarterback who literally found out he was starting was Saturday night. They it was almost like Bama LSU in a national championship game. Denver couldn't cross the 50-yard line, and yet the game plan was to be ultra-conservative, and Sean Payton told us after the game that he constantly was in Taysom Hill's ear to say, don't turn the ball over. That doesn't sound to me like somebody like, hey, here are the keys, here's your chance to show me what you got. So I think Taysom comes back in the Taysom Hill role that he's had. You're probably going to hear a quarterback competition, but again, the first name that popped out when he has been answering about Drew Brees and speaking about Sean Payton, it's always Jameis Winston first.
Great stuff. You can check out Gus on the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN New Orleans 100.3 FM. Gus, we appreciate the time and the insight, man. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Always a pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Gus kind enough to join us here. And Kelsey, that ultimately seems where all roads lead to here. We all got thrown off by that Taysom Hill 4-year, air quotes, $140 million contract extension with all the void years after the Drew news. But it seems like Jameis, it's just too easy. It makes too much sense on both sides of this.
And I really want to see what happens there, Mike, if they do give Jameis a chance. Now, we know what happened in Tampa Bay wasn't what anybody thought when they were signing, you know, overall first round pick and Heisman Trophy winner. But to have the season that he had last year, to choose to go play there and sit in a quarterback room with Drew Brees when he already has 5 years experience in the NFL, you know a whole lot more of what you need to pay attention to, what you want to pay attention to. And then you get to be in a room with a guy like Drew Brees and learn from him and be a part of that quarterback room for a year and then build on it. If they do go with Jameis, I'm excited to see what his future would be there for all those reasons.
I think it will be. And you get all the weapons there. We saw Teddy Bridgewater go through this with the Saints, but then leave for a depleted Carolina Panthers roster this past season. Jameis staying there with a Super Bowl-ready roster in so many other areas, you're right, would give us a great look to see how that year behind closed doors went for the former number one overall pick. Now, in celebration of Women's History Month, pay tribute to Black Queens on The Undefeated on ESPN+. Explore the athletes and coaches who have defied expectations and inspired others. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com and give us a call, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Your state's most impactful athlete in honor of what Drew Brees meant to the state of New Orleans, city of New Orleans, the state of Louisiana. 888-SAY-ESPN, your state's most impactful athlete. We'll get to that and what the NCAA tournament looks like this year without some of the names we're used to next on Shanahan Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Night.
Wow, big smiles right now.
Big smiles. Mike Golic Jr.,
wow.
Kelsey Riggs from the ACC Network, kind enough to join us on Janae and Golic Jr., and anyone who missed the Grammys last night, Album of the Year goes to Folklore by Taylor Swift. And Kelsey and I, there are very few people. I am known around here as a Taylor Swift fan, but Kelsey's got me and then some. And anytime new Taylor material comes out, the first text message immediately goes to Kelsey as we compare notes.
Which
here.
Reminds me that I tried to be a nice friend and get you a Christmas gift, and it was supposed to be that Taylor Swift vinyl, and it hasn't come in yet. It said it was going to be backordered. What was it supposed to be, like 3 months? We're in March. We got to be close.
It was incredible. It was, yeah, it was this.
I swear
gesture.
I bought it. That wasn't just like a nice thing I said. One day it'll come through. It'll be such an exciting surprise.
Well, that's the best part is I open up and I get this, you know, I get like a card and it's got inside, hey, you've got this vinyl of Folklore coming. And Kelsey and I had both bonded over how much we loved this album. Clearly other people loved it because it won the Grammy. And then I look at the fine print and Kelsey like immediately texts me, oh, by the way, it got backordered 22 weeks.
Yeah, I was like, what? How did you let me buy this? And we can't even get it until like midway through 2021. It's going to be worth it when we actually hear it on vinyl. Hopefully it shows up one day.
One day we are going to be able to put Taylor Swift's Folklore on wax and it is going to be glorious. But until that time, I guess we get to talk some sports. Taylor's had a big impact on year.
That makes sense.
What athlete has had the biggest impact on your state? We were talking about Drew Brees, what he's done for the state of Louisiana, the city of New Orleans. Let's go to the Goodyear Hotline, 888-729-3776, and go to Sean in Texas. Sean, you're on the show. Who's Texas's most impactful athlete?
Man, I'm from San Antonio, so you already know what I'm going to say. I'm going to say that boy, big fundamentals, Tim Duncan, 5 rings. But I also live in Dallas, Texas, so there's a lot of talk about Dirk, too, but I'm still going to ride with my man, Timmy D. Thank you.
So this is interesting because, Kelsey, you and I were having trouble with this for I'm from Connecticut, you're from South Carolina, trying to figure this out because there is also the off-the-court, off-the-field component of this that we talked so much about with Drew.
Yeah, and when you think about a state like South Carolina, yes, they claim the Panthers, but it's like, okay, if you're looking professional sports and you think of off-the-field impact, you have to go to guys that played elsewhere, but they're from there, and so then it gets a little bit complicated. I was coming up with Deshaun Watson, maybe, if you think of what he did and had his college impact at Clemson and then continues to do throughout now his charities. But, you know, he's not from South Carolina.
He's not, but you know what? Drew wasn't from Louisiana either.
That's true, so
but,
it counts.
And what Deshaun has done for the Clemson program, it used to be Clemsoning. It used to be bad losses in these situations, and now it has become that. So interesting there, too, as our producer points out, our last caller goes Tim Duncan over the Admiral, David Robinson.
Oh, wow,
there,
yeah.
And what he meant in that. So keep those coming, 888-729-3776. But we do have an NCAA tournament field that is set on the men's side. We have got Kelsey Riggs, who has been all over your bracketology, all over your coverage of the ACC tournament, the men's bracket last night. You're going to be on the ACC's coverage of the women's bracket special starting at 8 Eastern. And so we thought, all right, if there's not a lot of blue bloods on the men's side in the tournament this year, we'll show you some things that are still going to get you excited here, and we're going to do it in Coming In Hot.
Your team got you down.
It's very sad and very frustrating.
We got you. Because now is your time.
It is an absolute abomination.
Coming in hot with Jhené and Golic Jr.
Coming in hot's brought to you by Fidelity Investments. And Kelsey, you take us inside this here, because most people are going to look and see, all right, no Duke this year, no Kentucky this year, no Louisville, and think we've lost a lot of luster. But what are you excited about? What teams are getting you going as we head into the tournament now?
Let's be honest. When you look at the bracket every year, yeah, you get excited for the blue bloods. But in the ACC, Leonard Hamilton, Florida State's head coach, he started calling the other teams the new bloods. So the new bloods trying to take over. And in the ACC, the team that beat Florida State was Georgia Tech. If you're not on board with this Georgia Tech team yet, then don't worry, you haven't missed the boat. But Mike, people are going to love Georgia Tech. The energy, the enthusiasm, and their head coach, Josh Pastner, he said if they won the ACC, they could do whatever they wanted to his hair. He's a curly-headed guy, so going to be interesting to see what, in fact, they do with their hair. But they have a guy, Mike, Jose Alvarado, that everybody is just going to fall in love with.
Well, and we already got a kind of glimpse into that when they won the ACC title during this tournament. Jose Alvarado was very emotional after, him and his head coach talking to the media. Here was a look and what it sounded like to see them wear it all, wear his heart on his sleeve, did Jose Alvarado.
Oh, man, this is why I worked my butt off. A lot of people doubted me. I wasn't supposed to be in the ACC, and he took a chance on me. And my teammates, man, how good are they, man? This is like a dream come true, and I'm proud of my guys. And man, I love this. I love this win. This is gonna last me a lifetime.
What are the emotions you're feeling right now?
Oh man, I don't even know how to explain it. I got my daughter in the stand. I got my dad. My family really couldn't make it because, you know, it's just a struggle of life, but I'm just so happy I get the chance to tell them I'm a champion, and I bring a trophy home to Georgia Tech.
And Kelsey, you get chills watching it because you're kind of reminded all in one moment. Yes, the ACC tournament had Duke and Virginia leaving with COVID cases, but you had kids that have been dealing with that all year that now get this cathartic moment. No, it's the start of an even better journey for them.
And to just see what it means to these players. Every year it's special, but you can just feel how this year is even more special. After all the sacrifices that they've made, not being able to see their families, their friends due to COVID-19, just so that they could play the game they love and entertain us. And now you get to this bigger stage and you get the opportunity to go play basketball in March Madness. Georgia Tech hasn't been there since 2010, so quite the opportunity for them. And then you think about other teams. We saw the celebration from a team like Hartford, who's making it for the first time ever.
Look at Hartford having
it. Look at them go. And it's so exciting to see the emotion, Mike, of all of these. Yes, it's great when we get to see Duke and Kentucky and some of these other teams make it back again and again, and you can't help but love to see the greatness with some of those blue blood programs. But there is something fun about what Leonard Hamilton says in the new bloods and watching them make a run, too.
And I think you're right. As we get ready for Thursday, what tends to be like basketball holiday this first weekend of March Madness, that's what you're looking for, is teams like Georgia Tech to latch onto. So if you're not ready yet, let Josh Pastner and maybe his new haircut, Jose Alvarado and this crew.
I think they said maybe braids were coming.
Oh, dear God. All right, we're going to get very, very nervous for this coming up this weekend. Check them out. Georgia Tech, one team to definitely pay attention to as we head into the tournament. 888-729-3776. You can also give us your state's most impactful athlete. But coming up next, I saw a duo that gave us immediate returns, a combination that looks built to last. NFL free agency, what's the combo that we think is best built to last this coming season? Next, here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
All right, we got business to sort out here. And I'm not talking about the business that we'll get to in the NFL right now, because NFL free agency has kickstarted. And I think there are some pairings that we've seen right here that could pay immediate dividends for two teams in particular. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., but Kelsey Riggs joining us today, great ACC Network host and reporter. And Kelsey has been kind enough to join us before. And before I get to any of the Grammy stuff, I have to ask, Kelsey, what did we do to offend you? Because last time you came around here, we had this great segment built up around you, Kelsey's Game Notes, where Kelsey went into her vault, shoeboxes with hundreds of handwritten notes from her childhood.
Which is embarrassing, for the record.
I mean, we all have weird stuff that we've passed down. I just got a box of stuff from my parents moving of like high school and elementary school sports trophies that I have no need for. Yours, at least, entertained us, because some were love notes, some passed from your friends. And you came and you read us a few of those, and now you come back this time and you kind of realize that the price went up after how well this went last time. So are we not good enough for your notes anymore?
No, here's the thing. Last time, the first time I came on with you, we were going to do it, and it was the day that we had the Tiger Woods breaking news. So we obviously didn't get to it. More important things to talk about. We shelved it. The next time I came on the show, that was the first question, like, hey, are we going to do the love notes today? Everybody seemed excited about it. I came on the show meeting today. Nobody mentioned the love notes. I thought you guys didn't love it anymore. I thought we were going a different direction. Like, hey, that was, you know, that was kind of embarrassing for you. We're not going to do that again.
Well, yeah, and I didn't want to assume, I didn't want you to think that all you were to us was a vessel for love notes
okay,
and this entertainment here.
At
so
least now we know.
For everyone listening, we're going to get this sorted out for next time. Distance makes the heart grow fonder, and Game Notes will be back. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting small businesses with specialized coverages for commercial vehicles. More at progressivecommercial.com. But Kelsey, I was watching the Grammys last night, as I'm sure you were and a lot of other people, and I saw Silk Sonic, the combination of Anderson .Paak and Bruno Mars, get up and perform for the first time together. And it was electric. It sent all of us into a spiral trying to figure out how soon we could get to this concert, how I get in shape for that concert after a year off of all this. Megan Thee Stallion and Cardi B introduced a nation full of people to the song WAP in a way they weren't ready for. I know that hit home for you, having to see that explanation play out in real time in your family.
I did. I was sitting on my couch, and I had just turned it on at that point. I had other shows I was doing, and I was seeing everybody tweet. I'm like, oh yeah, the Grammys. And like, we're actually like in person this time. I got to watch it. And lucky me, I turned it on right before Megan Thee Stallion and Cardi B came out. And Mike, I was watching the performance, and I had to call my parents to see if they were watching. I was curious because, you know, naturally you're like, who's watching this? Are there small children watching this? Are there grown up adults that are my parents watching this trying to figure it out? I call them. I FaceTime them. They're not watching. So then immediately they're like, well, should we be? Should we turn it on? And I'm like, well, mate, I don't know what you're. So watching my mom try to explain to my dad the song and what it stands for and what it is, it's a memory that will be with me forever.
That's a tough one. And I say that as someone who on Christmas Day went and saw The Wolf of Wall Street with his entire family, including his grandmother. So
oh, wow.
I know what that pain
it's
looks like.
It's ingrained in your brain.
I appreciate that you chose violence and actually FaceTime your parents on there. And so while we were watching those pairings play out in real time and shock a lot of people and impress a lot of people, we're looking at NFL free agency today. Adam Schefter's been the busiest man in the world, as usual. And Kelsey, I look at two spots where we're getting new pairings that are going to pay, I think, immediate and like high-level, beautiful music dividends. The first, I obviously have to pick a fat person, is the Kansas City Chiefs in here. They go out and nab offensive guard Joe Tooney from the Patriots here. It was a guy they franchised last year. Kansas City, what did we just finish watching? A Super Bowl where Patrick Mahomes is running for his life out there. They go and immediately address it. They let their two tackles go this year and bring back one of the best interior guys in the NFL to protect your half a billion dollar quarterback. pretty impressive for you? I mean,
it is. I didn't know if that was the end. I was waiting.
You were expecting a higher profile player.
I feel like the way you started there and the way you built it up was perfect. I was not expecting high profile. You gave me exactly what I wanted. You went and gave us a big guy that is going to make a big impact. And that's a big deal.
All right. You know what? I can tell you're not impressed by this.
I'm so impressed. Give me the other pairing, though. I know you have more.
I get it. I understand. Listen, it wasn't quite Cardi B and Megan. So I'm going to try and up the ante a little bit here. Now, I don't know if it's any one player necessarily. If I can, I'll latch it on and say Matthew Judon signed for the Patriots. Outside linebacker, rush end. 4 years, $56 million with 32 guaranteed. But to me, Kelsey, it's bigger than that. It's just the Patriots in general right now. It should scare the hell out of everyone because they've gone out and, according to Adam Schefter, spent more guaranteed dollars in free agency this offseason than in any offseason in the last 10 years, the last decade for the New England Patriots. And between Judon, between Jalen Mills right now, Jonnu Smith, the former Titans tight end signing with them now. I even saw, I believe, Nelson Aguilar, the former Eagles and Raiders wide receiver, just signed a deal with the Patriots. So them loading up, Kelsey, to me is less one specific pairing and more maybe Bill Belichick realizing he's got to build the band a little bit differently now than he did when it was him and Tom Brady singing before.
That's what I was going to say to you, Mike. What does that say to you about what Bill's trying to do there? This seems obviously very different now. We learned a lot about him last year, but when you see them going and spending the money they are, your brain goes where?
My brain goes to immediately the same old thing because people were ready to write off the Patriots after this year and say, I mean, how many people do we hear with the take? Well, clearly the Patriot way was Tom Brady.
Yeah.
We heard even former teammates, Danny Amendola, saying that. And I looked up here and said, you guys forgot what Bill was like early on in this Patriots dynasty, clearly, because this is exactly how he built it then. Let's make sure the defense is settled here. We're going to figure out our quarterback situation. We signed Cam as a backstop. I still think they're in the Jimmy G market for all this. And slowly start to build it around here. Kelsey, he realized that when you had Tom Brady taking pay cuts, you had a quarterback that could be a bona fide for you and a ticket to a Super Bowl, you could get guys to come for the cheap. But now you're in Foxborough, Massachusetts, cold like the rest of us in lockdown and all of this, which means you're going to have to open up the pocketbook if you want people to come here. This used to be a place that grew free agents and then let them go get paid elsewhere, and now they know we're a place that's got to pay a little more of a premium, and I think part of them knew they were going to have to take last year on the chin to do it.
That's a great point, because it's not the New England that we're used to, and in order to get back to those winning ways, you're going to have to do things a little bit differently. You might have to get that checkbook out and write some checks and wait a little while and see how it develops, but this team and what they're doing is very different than what we've seen in the past.
It is. And I think, you know what, for them last year, they had the most opt-outs in the NFL of any team because of COVID-19. We knew it was going to be a new year, Cam Newton coming over, and obviously that was a mixed bag of results in that for year one in the middle of a pandemic season. And I just kept sitting around listening to people ready to start tearing down the monuments to Bill Belichick, and I was like, man, this guy's got a lot of cap room to work with right now and has still been one of the better. Listen, I know the draft doesn't always go well for them, but as far as the way that they acquire and move talent, it's been a team that's done it pretty well. So do that at your own risk. By the way, speaking of New England, Rob Gronkowski, 1 year, $10 million extension with Tampa Bay. They weren't kidding about keeping the band back together.
They were not.
So they've signed everyone right now. Lavonte David back in that one. Shaq Barrett back. They're a great pass rusher. Rob Gronkowski and Tom Brady both signing extensions with
the
team.
And the way they've been able to move money around to make this happen, people just didn't think they were going to be able to get everybody back, and here we are.
It's your reminder, guys, the salary cap is but a polite suggestion as your favorite team right now sits idly on their hands. I know I text our very own Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL analyst, earlier today about something completely unrelated, and she is so tense on Russell Wilson watch right now, and the fact that this team hasn't gone out and gotten him any of these offensive linemen. It's a very uneasy time for some other fan bases that aren't seeing much movement.
Now the only thing we need to see is the video from Brady and Gronk that we are just expecting every time of them coming back together again.
That is true. The social media team for Tom Brady remains undefeated. Will Gronk and Tom Brady give us more Silk Sonic, more Anderson Paak, and more Bruno Mars? Or do we get the Cardi B, Megan Thee Stallion treatment from Gronk and Tom Brady? That one would take the internet over the top.
I like that.
I feel like we need to see this. All right, coming up next, we will get into plenty more Grammy-related nonsense and one NBA superstar going for the low-hanging fruit when it comes to his critics. We'll get to that next. Janae Angolik Jr., Kelsey Riggs, sitting in with us on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
Janae Angolik Jr., the podcast.
You weren't by a television last night, didn't happen to see the Grammys, and didn't happen to see Bruno Mars and Anderson Paak. debut as Silk Sonic together performing for the first time. Who, buddy?
Then what?
I don't know what you're doing with right? your life. And Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr., Kelsey Riggs from the ACC Network, kind enough to sit in with us today. Kelsey, I was reminded in that moment of, one, just how much I missed live music, seeing concerts live and being in that setting. And number two, how wholly unprepared my body is to absorb what they're throwing. Like, if they go out on tour and that's my first concert post-pandemic, post-lockdown like this, I'm going to pass out. I just have no shot.
Completely unprepared. I feel like all the last year I have thought, like, wow, it's so good to have sports back. It's so good to do this. I can't wait until we get back into these stadiums and arenas and they're full. But then you think about the concert side of it. Think about going and sitting out on the lawn in an outdoor music venue, you know, nice, like, sun coming down, feels good outside, slight wind, not too hot. And a lot of people around you and not feeling weird about it. I can't wait.
Yeah, I can say it's great, but I feel like in the meantime, I need like a county fair to kind of build up to
there
that.
You go.
Maybe go to an open mic night at a small bar when that's a thing again, and then build my way back up to a stadium venue so that I don't
You're
go
jumping
down.
On the mic at that, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Listen, got to find jumping. A way. Now, our thanks to everyone who joined us today. Roland Smith earlier in the show talking about the unfortunate incident that went on in high school basketball in the state of Oklahoma. Roland Martin, excuse me. My apologies there. Roland Martin joining us earlier in today, as well as Luke Hancock from the ACC Network, ACC basketball analyst, helping us break down the tournament. And Gus Kattengall from New Orleans, our ESPN radio station down there, talking about the legacy of Drew Brees. If you missed any of those, check out the Chinangle Jr. podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Also, keep it tuned into ESPN Radio. Shaq Barrett going to be joining KJ and Z, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern. And right here, Spain and Fitz, after our show at 7:15 Eastern, former Saints wide receiver Joe Horn going to be joining them. So plenty as we break down the legacy of Drew Brees in New Orleans after he announces his retirement. But, Kelsey, we got some petty, we've got some interesting paydays, and we've got plenty we need to do to close out the show. So you ready to keep that same energy?
I am. Let's do it.
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Chinay and Golic Jr.
And Chinay, we're a tall... Chinay, Kelsey.
I was like, yes,
was
wait, tell me about what Chinay does.
How did that even happen?
That was the biggest compliment I'm going to get all day, so thank you.
It is Monday as hell. My Madden awareness rating just went down, and so I'm going to deflect, because Kelsey, who I've been hanging out with here for 2 hours right now, Ben Simmons fired back a little bit. He took some criticism from a Washington Wizards local broadcast crew who said he's one of the most overrated players in the NBA, and here's what he had to say about it.
I just want to ask you about Justin Kutcher. A couple days ago, he had some things to say during a game. Does that kind of stuff, you know, how do you think about that kind of stuff when you hear it?
It depends. Like, usually I see a lot of coming into it. So when I saw that one, you know, I had plenty of time because I was on quarantine still. So I scrolled through his Instagram, saw who he was. It is what it is. He's like a 5'5" commentator for the Wizards, man. I can't give it too much attention. You know, I was just playing a little game with him, but it is what it is. Everyone has their voice and they can say what they want. But it is what it is.
Public short jokes, Kelsey, fair or foul?
Fair. I mean, I think right there in this scenario, like, all's fair in love and war and the fight that, hey, you know, you're going to say something about him. He's got a platform. He's got a mic in front of him. He's ready to fire back.
It is fair.
You say foul?
I don't like to quite literally punch down like that. Like, it feels mean, but I guess this is basketball. Trash talking reigns supreme. So
there you go.
Sometimes you got to remind people of this. Chinay and Golic Jr., Kelsey Riggs, kind enough to join us here.
Yeah, thanks for making me look like the mean one there.
I remember. Well,
thought we were on the same page.
I had to do something after I literally called you Chinay.
You did.
I
told you it was a compliment, so we're good.
That is a compliment here. And speaking of a big-time moment compliment that involves Chinay Agumake, the WNBA unveiled a new logo, basketballs, and uniforms as part of its Count It campaign, celebration of the 25th anniversary season for the W coming up here. So something we're very excited about here. Certainly pumped for Chinay say already that she's coming back and to make her, you know, return to the W this year. But very cool moment for a very important league.
Yeah, I love the idea behind it. It says keep counting. There's a lot more to come from the WNBA. And I mean, I think we've seen so much from them throughout all the years, but especially last year too, and the way that they were really able to use their voices and their platform. I know there's just going to be more good stuff to come, especially from Chennai. How exciting is that?
Absolutely. More good stuff from Chennai. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. More good stuff from Kelsey coming up. You can catch her all over the ACC Network's coverage of the Women's Selection Special and more. Thanks for stopping by, Kels.
Thanks for having me.
Spain and Fitz up next.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.